Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're jumping into a plant that's been with us, well, practically forever. Get this. Industrial hemp.
Cannabis sativa L, yeah.
Exactly. It's one of the world's oldest cultivated plants. We're talking 8,000 BC. That's, wow, 10,000 years of history.
It is pretty staggering. And, you know, for a long time, it sort of faded into the background.
Right. But now it's making this huge comeback. And today we're going to find out exactly why that is.
Yeah, our mission really is to unpack the incredible versatility of this plant, industrial hemp. We'll look at its, you know, ancient roots, its really surprising modern uses across so many different industries, and the innovations, the tech that's driving this global resurgence.
And hopefully you'll see how just this one crop is offering some pretty smart, sustainable, eco-friendly solutions to, well, some pretty big challenges we face today.
Definitely. We've gathered insights from scientific reviews, market analyses, even policy stuff.
And we're going to show you how hemp is changing things up. Everything from, say, the clothes you wear, the food you eat,
to the buildings you live and work in, even the cars you drive. It's pretty wild when you see the whole picture.
Okay, so let's start with the basics, just to be crystal clear. Industrial hemp is Cannabis sativa L, but it's different, right?
It is. Crucially different. It's specifically bred, cultivated, to have almost no THC. That's the psychoactive compound.
Tetrahydrocannabinol, yeah.
Right. Legally, it's usually less than 0.3%. Mm. So you get all the industrial and nutritional pluses, but zero intoxicating effect.
Right, none of that. But it often has more CBD, cannabidiol.
That's often the case, yes. Higher concentrations of non-psychoactive CBD, which has its own, you know, therapeutic reputation, but again, non-intoxicating.
Got it. So no high, but you called it a natural powerhouse. What makes it so valuable industrially? What's inside?
Oh, it really is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
The stalks, they give you these incredibly strong fibers.
Strong how?
Like superior strength. We're talking the highest Young's modulus values of any natural fiber. That means it's incredibly stiff, resistant to stretching.
So really robust, structural integrity.
Exactly. And then you've got the seeds. They're just packed with valuable oil and protein.
Wow. Okay. Stalks for fiber, seeds for oil and protein. But how do you actually get those parts ready to use? You have to process the plant, right?
Absolutely. Preparation is key.
Yeah.
Traditionally, they used redding to separate the fibers.
Redding?
Yeah, like dew redding, just leaving the plants in the field, letting moisture and microbes break things down, or water redding, soaking them in water.
Okay.
The water redding, it had some environmental issues, pollution and such.
Right. So what do we do now? Better methods?
Oh, yeah. Much more controlled. Things like enzymatic redding uses enzymes to break down specific components. It gives you cleaner, better separated fibers, fewer impurities.
That makes sense, adapting old techniques.
Yeah.
But modern science must be doing more, right? Taking these natural properties and boosting them.
Totally. They're really fine-tuning hemp now. There are advanced treatments to modify fibers for very specific jobs.
Like?
Well, there's steam explosion. Sounds dramatic, but it's efficient. Low energy. Uses a rapid pressure release.
Ah, to separate the fibers?
Yeah, very cleanly. Or plasma treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That actually roughens up the fiber surface.
Why would you want to do that?
It helps it bond better with other materials, like in composites, makes them stick together. Then there's alkaline treatment.
Oh, okay.
Using chemicals like sodium hydroxide. That strengthens the fibers, makes them more heat resistant, though you have to be careful not to overdo it.
Right, delicate balance.
And finally, things like chemical compatibilization treatments, acetylation, selenor. They help the fibers mix better with polymers, reduce water uptake, boost mechanical properties. It's all about enhancing what's already there for specific high-performance needs.
It's pretty incredible taking it from a field crop to these, well, high-tech materials. Mm-hmm. Let's look at where it's making an impact. Packaging and composites, that seems huge, especially with the push away from plastics.
Absolutely huge. The drive for sustainable materials has put hemp right at the forefront, a leading biodegradable alternative to petroleum plastics.
So how do you mix it in?
Various ways. Melt mixing, solution casting, extrusion, injection molding. You integrate the hemp fibers into composites.
And where would we actually see this?
You might be surprised. Hemp-reinforced polypropylene. It's already in car dashboards, replacing standard synthetic polymers.
Seriously? In cars? Which ones?
Oh, yeah. Major players.
Uh-huh.
Audi, BMW, Ford, Mercedes. A regular Mercedes C-Class can have up to 20 kilograms of hemp inside.
20 kilos. That's amazing. And it performs well.
Better, in some ways. These composites offer improved tensile strength, flexural strength, impact strength, even UV shielding for things like packaging films.
card dashboards. Mind blown. What's the biggest challenge, though, engineering-wise? Getting something natural like hemp to work reliably in a car?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's largely about consistency. Natural fibers can vary, you know, so those advanced treatments we talked
about. Yeah, the plasma and alkaline stuff.
Exactly. They're crucial for standardizing the material, making sure it bonds perfectly with the polymer matrix, and critically, meeting those really strict automotive safety and performance standards.
Right. Safety first.
It really shows the level of innovation happening.
Okay, from dashboards, back to something more traditional but still relevant. Textiles. Sales, even. The word canvas comes from cannabis.
It does. A direct link to its long history in sail making. And today, those fibers are woven into textiles, often with a texture quite similar to linen.
And what are the advantages of wearing hemp, say?
Oh, quite a few inherent benefits.
Yeah.
Hemp fabric is naturally antimicrobial. It's highly absorbent, good electrostatic properties.
Being less static cling.
Exactly. It's also low risk for allergies. And get this, it can block up to 95% of UV rays naturally.
Wow. Built-in sunblock. But isn't hemp sometimes seen as rough?
It can be, traditionally. But that's where innovation comes in again. They can now cottonize hemp.
God.
Yeah, basically remove the lignin. That's the stuff that makes wood rigid. This makes the hemp fibers finer, much softer, easier to work with, perfect for blending with cotton or other materials, and gives it that softer linen-like feel.
Okay, so it can be soft, but are there still hurdles in making hemp textiles mainstream? You hear about cleanliness, brittleness. What's shiv?
Ah, yes, shiv. That refers to the little bits of the woody core of the stalk. If they're not fully removed during processing,
they end up in the fabric.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Can make it feel rough, cause imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
So cleanliness is key. And yes, fiber brittleness and just the natural variability can still be challenges. It affects consistency in production, how the final fabric feels. But, you know, research is constantly tackling these issues.
It's fascinating how it keeps popping up. Let's talk paper. Another area where hemp has this ancient history but feels revolutionary again.
Absolutely. Used for paper scrolls way back in ancient China. And today, hemp paper actually outperforms tree-based paper in a lot of ways. It's stronger, more resistant to decomposition, it lasts longer, less prone to yellowing over time, and it has higher tear strength and tensile strength.
Okay, stronger, lasts longer, doesn't yellow. Ugh. Sounds amazing, especially with how much paper we use. So why isn't everything printed on hemp paper?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really highlights a key challenge for the whole industry.
Which is?
Infrastructure and cost. Despite all those benefits, right now, hemp paper production costs about 4 times more than wood pulp paper.
4 times? Why?
Mainly because the infrastructure just isn't there yet. We don't have enough facilities set up for efficiently separating the fibers specifically for paper at scale. It's much cheaper to use the existing massive wood pulp infrastructure.
So it's a classic chicken and egg. Need demand to build infrastructure, need infrastructure to lower costs and boost demand.
Precisely. It shows that shifting to sustainable materials isn't just about finding great alternative. It's about investing in the whole system to make them viable and scalable.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's switch gears to something we can eat. Food, feed, even pharmaceuticals.
Yep. Hemp seeds are nutritional powerhouses. They're a complete plant-based protein.
Meaning they have all the essential amino acids.
They do. Plus, they're rich in essential fatty acids, especially omega-3s, lots of vitamins D and E, minerals, and naturally gluten-free.
So, pretty much a superfood. How are we using them?
In lots of ways. Hemp flour can boost the antioxidants in bread. It's used in gluten-free baking, even in things like egg-free sponge cakes.
Huh. And oil.
Cold-pressed for culinary use, salad dressings, things like that. Also popular in cosmetics.
Okay. And it's not just for humans, right? What about animal feed?
Right. The byproduct after pressing the oil is called hemp seed cake. It's protein-rich, and the FDA considers it generally recognized as safe, GRAS.
So safe for animals.
Yep. It makes a really valuable protein supplement for animal feed. Can actually improve the nutritional profile of the meat or milk from those animals.
Interesting. And the medicinal side, beyond CBD, which gets a lot of attention.
Well, hemp extracts, often containing a range of cannabinoids and other compounds, have been used in traditional medicine for, well, millennia.
For what kind of things?
Historically, things like managing stress, anxiety, pain, supporting sleep, digestion. It's really an ancient remedy, finding new validation, connecting that tradition with modern wellness needs.
Fascinating stuff. Okay, let's move from what we eat to where we live. Green building solutions.
Yes. Enter hempcrete.
Hempcrete, like concrete, but with hemp.
Sort of, but different function. It's primarily an insulation and walling material, not structural like concrete. It's made from the hemp herd, the woody core of the stalk, mixed with lime and water.
And what are the benefits?
Quite a few. It's fire resistant now, not completely fireproof, but very resistant. It's non-toxic, pest resistant. And importantly, when combined with lime, it's mold resistant.
Mold resistant is huge for buildings. You mentioned its unparalleled sustainability. What does that mean in practice if I wanted to build with it?
It means a significantly lighter environmental footprint. Hemp building materials have very low embodied energy.
That's the energy used to make them.
Exactly, from field to finished product. And here's the kicker. They are carbon negative.
Whoa, hang on. Carbon negative? How?
The hemp plant absorbs a large amount of CO2 from the atmosphere as it grows very quickly. That CO2 gets locked into the building material. So it's actually sequestering carbon.
That's incredible. So healthier buildings, smaller carbon footprint.
Right. Plus, hempcrete walls are lightweight. They're breathable, meaning they regulate humidity naturally, which leads to healthier indoor air quality.
Is this actually being used allowed?
It's gaining ground. Hemp lime, or hempcrete, was officially accepted into the International Residential Code in 2024. That's a major step for its legitimacy in the construction world.
That is big. So healthier homes, good for the planet. What about local economies? Does growing hemp for building help farmers?
It definitely can. Take Pennsylvania, for example. It's seen as a real opportunity for farmers to diversify income, build local, sustainable supply chains, creating jobs in rural areas, connecting them with urban construction needs.
But there must be challenges there, too.
The main one, echoing the paper issue, is often processing infrastructure. You need regional decortication facilities.
Decorti what?
Decortication. That's the process of efficiently separating the tough outer fiber from the inner woody core, the herd, which is used for hempcrete. Without local decorticators, it's hard and expensive to process the raw stalks.
Infrastructure, again, seems to be a recurring theme.
Okay, so putting this all together, what's the future look like? The market must be growing fast.
Oh, it's booming. Projections show the global industrial hemp market hitting over $30 billion by 2029.
$30
billion? Yeah, growing at something like a 22.4% compound annual growth rate. It's rapid.
And what's driving that? Just the sustainability trend.
That's a huge part of it. The escalating demand for sustainable products across all these sectors we've touched on, plus increasing legalization and more government support worldwide, are definitely helping.
Where's all this hemp being grown? Who are the leaders? Currently, China and France are major producers, but really, over 30 countries are cultivating it now. And the Asia-Pacific region is projected to have the highest growth rates moving forward.
So, huge untapped potential globally, then.
Immense potential. As more regions figure out the regulations and see the economic and environmental upsides.
Okay, so demand is there, growth is happening. To really unlock all that potential we've talked about, what are the key things that need to happen? What are the main hurdles left?
Well, there are still some regulatory gray areas in places that need clearing up. And consumer education is still really important, making sure people understand the benefits and, crucially, the difference between industrial hemp and marijuana.
Right, overcoming old stigmas.
Exactly. And, as we said, serious investment in that processing infrastructure, like decortication plants, is absolutely vital. That's key to bringing costs down and making hemp truly competitive across the board.
Makes sense. So continued innovation, smarter farming, wider acceptance. It sounds like hemp really could be a cornerstone for a more sustainable, bio-based economy.
I think that's fair to say. It's not just one material. It's like a toolkit. A single plant offering solutions that traditionally required many different, often less sustainable resources.
It's pretty amazing, really.
Yeah. So today we've peeled back some layers on industrial hemp. Hopefully you see how this ancient co-op is incredibly relevant for our modern challenges. From super strong fibers in composites and textiles. To the nutrition punch in food. And its literal carbon capturing power in building materials. It's remarkably versatile.
It really is. And this whole deep dive, it really shows how one single plant can offer so many potential answers, doesn't it? Which kind of makes you wonder.
What else is out there?
Exactly. What other traditional, maybe overlooked natural resources might hold keys to a more sustainable future? It's definitely something to think about. We really invite you to keep exploring the potential of nature's solutions.